How you guys doing? All right, the mic works. Good. Well, it's great to be with you guys today. So April got her wisdom teeth out on Thursday, so she's still a little puffy. So she's back in Maryland with her family, and it's just me and Boaz, our 15-month-old today. So it's great to be out with you guys. Merry Christmas. If I don't get to see you guys for that, we're going to be down in Maryland for Christmas, but we're grateful to be here today. So I'm not going to give you a Niger update. We're in, as a lot of you guys know, April, Boaz, and I are in Niger, West Africa. We got back a couple weeks ago. But another day, I'll give you like the official Niger update. If you have questions, I can answer them for you whenever you want. But so not much Niger today. But yeah, I'm thankful to be here with you guys this morning. Just so you guys know, it's really encouraging having a local church that's really supportive when we're on the other side. It's just good to know that people are involved, people are praying, and you guys know what's going on over there. So thank you. Thank you for that. And thank you for the missionary support team that we have. You guys are great. It's good to just keep up with people. So thank you guys for your involvement in our lives. So this morning, I just want to talk about a subject that we don't necessarily like that much, and that's waiting. Talk about waiting, right? So in general, we don't really like waiting. If you think about waiting, probably the first thing that comes to your mind is like the dentist office or in line at the bank or the post office, something like that. Or you think about traffic. And most of the time you think about waiting and you say, man, really waiting? I don't like to do that. But it's actually kind of funny. In Niger, there's a phrase. They say, kalasuru, kalasuru. It means you got to have patience. Because in Niger, everything takes like 20 times longer than you would ever expect. So has anybody ever been there? My dad's been there. He knows. My mom's been there. Everything takes long. So it's funny. So in Niger, everything takes longer. So you expect, okay, if I got to go pay my water bill, you know, just carve out 3 hours. It might happen. It might not. You might have to come back tomorrow because they didn't actually bring your bill and they have to go do something behind the desk and say, oh, come back tomorrow. You come back tomorrow. It's not done. Then you have to come back the next day. This last one, it took me 3 weeks to pay it, but I got it paid before I left. So thankful. But it's funny, so Niger, everything takes longer, so everybody expects to wait, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they wait well. So one example is, you know, if you're going down the parkway and there's traffic, what do? You stop, you know, and you wait, and you wait. You complain about it probably a little bit, right? Oh, traffic. You listen to the news, oh, when's this traffic going to be over? But you wait. In Niger, they don't. They actually just go into the opposite lane and they drive down the road the wrong way. And so most days in Niger, there's, you know, cars coming at you in your lane and you just got to move over. That's what it is, you know? So waiting, you know, everybody waits. Nobody really likes waiting, but we do it. But this season, in the Christmas season, we don't talk about waiting in a negative way. We talk about expectation. We talk about a good waiting, right? So maybe you're waiting to go on vacation. Maybe you're in school and you're like, oh man, 3 more days until I get Christmas break. You know, expectation. Maybe you're waiting for family to come. Maybe you have some family that's coming in from the Midwest and you just can't wait to see them. And you're excited about that. You're expecting that. Maybe you have some really big boxes under the tree and you're like, oh man, I want to open that one. I don't know. So this season, we talk about waiting in a good sense. We talk about expectation, right? But then there's also another kind of waiting that I think most of us have experienced, and that's waiting for really big things in our life. So sometimes maybe you're waiting for employment. You've been praying and seeking the Lord, and you want a new job, or you want a job. Maybe you have an upcoming surgery, and you think about that coming up and it makes you a little bit nervous. And you're waiting for that to come and you want that to go really well. Maybe you're waiting for the Lord to provide you with a spouse, and you've been praying, Lord, please send somebody for me. Maybe you're waiting for the Lord to give you a child, and it's been years, and you've been waiting and praying. Maybe you're waiting for a friend or a child to come to faith in Christ, and you've been praying for them, and it's been years, and you've been praying and waiting. Lord, when are you going to act? So that's a different kind of waiting, too. Sometimes that kind of waiting is years. Sometimes it's weeks. Sometimes weeks feel like years. But there's lots of waiting. So for today, I thought it would be cool to look at a man in Scripture who is waiting. And his name is Simeon. So if you can open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to talk a little bit about this man named Simeon. But let me just pray for us. Lord, you're good. We thank you that your word is powerful and it is living. And we pray that this morning that your word would just touch our hearts. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is alive and here. And we pray that he would work in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm just going to read Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 22 to 35. Verse 22 says, "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him," that's Jesus, "they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory for your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" So, we're going to look into the life of Simeon today. And we're going to look at, the first thing is what he waited for. The second thing was how he waited. And the third thing was what his waiting was really about. So just this morning, we're going to go through those three things. So first thing, Simeon, he was waiting on God's promise. So when we look at Simeon, we really don't know that much about him. This is the only biblical text that talks about this man, Simeon. So we don't really know where he came from. We don't know his heritage. We don't know his job. We don't know how old he was. We really don't know much about this man, Simeon. We know that he was from Jerusalem. And we know that he was a just and he was a devout man. But that's pretty much all we know about him. We know what he was waiting for, though, and that's the important thing. So it says here that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So Simeon, he was a Jewish man growing up from Jerusalem. And so we can assume that he probably went to synagogue, went to the temple, and so he heard the scriptures being read and the scriptures being proclaimed. So he probably heard passages like Isaiah 66, verse 13 being read, where it says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." So he probably heard these passages talking about Jerusalem, talking about Israel, talking about how God would come and comfort his people, how God would come and make things right. in their nation. And so he probably heard all these things, and he said, yes, Lord, I trust that you will do that. But then he probably looked around, looked at the generations before him and said, but he hasn't done that yet. He probably knew his history. He probably knew that the kingly line of Israel was lost, that there was no king in Israel right now. He knew about the exiles where God punished the people of Israel for falling away from God, and he sent the Assyrians and the Babylonians to come and take the people away. He probably knew about the 400 years of silence where God didn't send a prophet to his people for a long time, and he was in that time. And so he knew that the Lord had made all these promises to his people, and they hadn't yet been fulfilled. They hadn't come yet, but he was waiting for them, and he wanted them to come, and he was excited for what the Lord was going to do. He was waiting for the Lord to make things right in Israel. He was waiting for the Lord to fulfill his promises to his people, and he was waiting for that Messiah that would come and make things right. There's probably many times, if you think about Simeon's life, we don't know how long he waited. That could have been something that, since he was a boy, he heard the message that God was going to make things right. And maybe he was an old man. We don't know how old he was. It kind of seems like he was older. But we don't know how many years he waited for this. But there could have been times in his life when he felt what the psalmist in David in Psalm 13 said, where David said, "Oh Lord, how long? How long will you forget us? How long will you hide yourself from us?" There's probably times maybe when Simeon felt like that. How long, Lord, until you fulfill your promise to this nation? Sometimes I think we can feel like Simeon too. I don't know what you're waiting for, whether it's a really big thing, whether it's a little thing, but sometimes those feelings of, Lord, how long? When are you going to do this? I know that you're timeless. I know that to you, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day, but when, Lord, are you going to answer this prayer? So Simeon was waiting. And then we learned something else about Simeon, that Simeon received a specific promise from the Lord. So if we look in back in the scriptures in verse 26, it said, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." So God, we don't know how he gave him this. We don't know if this was an audible voice. We don't know if this was by a dream or by a vision. But God gave Simeon this revelation that he wasn't going to die before he saw the Messiah, the Lord's Christ. So he knew this. Okay, you wonder how many days he woke up and said, is that going to be today? Will I see the Messiah today? No, it wasn't today. He went back to bed. Next morning, will I see him today? But he was waiting for this specific promise from the Lord that he was going to see the Lord's Christ. Just an interesting note. If you look here, it says the Holy Spirit showed him that he wouldn't see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. If you guys remember, earlier in the chapter, when the angels came and they proclaimed to the shepherds that they were going to see the Messiah, right? What did they say? It said in verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Christ the Lord, and here he sees the Lord's Christ, right? Wait, the Lord, God. He is the Messiah from the Lord, from God. He's God's Messiah. That's what it says in this passage. Earlier it says, he is Christ the Lord. He's the Lord's Christ, and he's Christ the Lord. He's God. God is the Messiah. God, Lord, the Lord Jesus, is equal to God. And we see this magnificent truth of the awesome God that we serve just in this passage here, that he is the Lord's Christ, and he is Christ the Lord at the same time. It's kind of in the same way in John chapter 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you think about that, that doesn't really make much sense. Could I be with somebody, and can I be that person at the same time? Wait, if I was with April, then I'm not April because I was with her, you know? But the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus is equal to God. He is God. And he was with God at the same time. We have a magnificent God that we serve, the triune God, and he's so good. Anyway, so that was a side note. Sorry about that. So he had this specific promise that was revealed to him that he was going to see the Lord's Christ, right? So finally, after weeks, I guess, years of waiting, Simeon goes to the temple one day. And what happens? He sees Mary and Joseph fulfilling what they needed to do by the law of Moses. And he sees baby Jesus. And he picks the child up in his arms and he blesses the Lord, right? And so finally, he saw what the Lord promised a long time ago that he would see. And he was overjoyed. And he resulted in praise and honor and glory to the Lord. So, cool thing is, when he finally saw Jesus, his expectations were surpassed, I think. He didn't say, oh, really? Little baby? I expected somebody different. No, he didn't say, oh, wow, I thought he was going to be a warrior on a white horse. And you sent a baby? No, he was excited when he finally saw this baby. And he realized that this baby was going to do something amazing, and that was going to change the world forever. So Simeon, what he did was he waited on the promises of God. So he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for God to make things right in Israel. And then God gave him a specific promise, and he waited on that promise. And he finally got to see it. So for us, when we think about us, a lot of times we can wait for things that won't necessarily happen. So if you're waiting on winning the lottery, I don't want to give you much hope that could happen. I mean, it could, right? Somebody wins. Probably won't be you. Sorry. So he was waiting on something different. He was waiting on something that was sure, something that would happen. God said it would happen, so it will happen. So for us, we're people, we're sinful people, and oftentimes we make promises, and a lot of times we break them. Sometimes we break promises because we're sinful, and we don't want to do what we said we would do. One reason. And sometimes we break promises because we can't. So if I said, oh, I promise I'll be there tomorrow at 3, I promise I'll be there. And then if I'm driving and there's horrible traffic or a car accident, I can't make it at 3. I promised, but then I broke my promise because I'm not all powerful. But when God, who will never lie and is all powerful, if he makes a promise, it will happen. He couldn't say, oh, I hit traffic, and I was busy, and I couldn't. No, if God makes a promise, it will happen. So Simeon, he waited on the promises of God. So for us today, as we think about what we're waiting on, I would encourage you guys to think about the promises of God. God has made many, many promises in his word to us, and that we can go to the bank on, that we can say, yes, I know that it's true for me today. I know that it's true for us today. So, for example, in Matthew 6, it tells us that we're not allowed to worry because it says that our Heavenly Father will provide for us. It says he provides for the birds every day. And what kind of a father that provides for the birds wouldn't provide for his children? Imagine that. I heard listening to a message the other day, and it said, yeah, imagine a father, an earthly father, that would go out every morning and give out bird seed to all these birds and then wouldn't feed his son. There's no kind of father like that. If a father would feed his birds, obviously he will feed his children. And so we know that our Heavenly Father, he's going to provide for us. And we can go to the bank on that. It's a promise of God. Another one, 1 Peter 5:7, it says that we should cast our cares on the Lord because he cares for us. Our Heavenly Father cares for us, cares for our needs. He cares for our problems. He's there with us. Psalm 46:1 says that he is a very present help in trouble. He will help us in trouble. He is there. He didn't forget. Romans 8:31 says that God is for us. So who can be against us? We have the Almighty God who is for us. That's an amazing truth. So we have all these promises that God has given us in his word, that when we're in these times of waiting for big things, well, we can remember them. And we can hold on to them. We can trust in them. So, first thing we learned from Simeon is that he waited on promises of God. And we can do the same thing today. We can open his word and trust that his word is unchanging, powerful, and true today. and we can wait on those promises of God. So second thing was we look at Simeon's character as he waited. So we don't know much about Simeon, but we do know what kind of a man he was. And it says in verse 25, it says, he was a righteous and devout man. This man was righteous and devout. So we know about his character. He was a righteous, devout man. So, we don't know how long he waited for this, but we know the character that he was. So, one of the things that we can learn from him is that maybe God changed him through this waiting period. So we know right here, when we get this little snapshot of Simeon's life, we know he was a righteous and devout man. He was probably righteous and devout before, but that's something you can grow in too. So we kind of wonder, like, how did God use this waiting in Simeon's life to grow him and to make him more of a righteous and a devout man? We don't know. But we know that our reaction to waiting often shows where our heart is. It can kind of be like a litmus test for where our heart is at the time. Right, so think about it. If you're waiting in line at ShopRite, and there's a lady in front of you with 120 items, and she has a coupon for each item, how are you going to feel at the time? You might get that, oh man, you look around and there's no other lines open. You're, you know, frustration. That can be a result of that, right? That's one reaction. Impatience, how will you react to that? Patience, impatience, right? If you think about physical health, if there's this physical ailment that's been plaguing you for a long time and it's really hard, how do you react to that? Is this something that you get angry about? Is it something that you get depressed about? Or is it something that you're going to wait on the Lord about and say, Lord, you know my struggles, even in this. Think about if you're waiting for something specific, right? You're praying for, say, a spouse or a child for a long time, and then your best friend gets it. How do you react to that? Is it jealousy? Oh, Lord, why did you give it to him and not to me? Or is it praise and thankfulness that the Lord provides for others too? So a lot of times how we wait can really show where our hearts are at. And if you think about little times of waiting or big times of waiting, we can use that one to see where we're at, and oftentimes it's an opportunity to repent and say, Lord, man, I am so impatient. Lord, help me to grow in patience through these little things. So in Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 31, it says, but they who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. There's a song we sing oftentimes, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. We sing that song, it's based in Isaiah 40. So will our strength rise as we're waiting, or will our frustration rise as we're waiting? So in these times of waiting, ask the Lord to grow you, to change you through these times of waiting. So allow waiting to produce character, to produce faith, to produce perseverance, hope, godliness. So that's a different kind of waiting. First thing we learned was that Simeon waited on the promises of God. Second, that his waiting, he turned out to be a righteous and devout man through his waiting. And we can also be changed through waiting too. And the third thing is that Simeon's waiting resulted in the glory of God. So I've mentioned it before, but we really don't know that much about Simeon when we look at this passage. We can't flip to other passages to find out more about Simeon. And I think that's a really cool thing. Because I think when you read this passage, you realize that Simeon's not really the point. He's there for a specific reason. And he is a part of a greater narrative. He's a part of the narrative of Jesus. So Simeon, he's a great character, he's a godly man, and we can praise the Lord for his example. But his waiting was not about him. His waiting was about the Savior that he got to hold in his arms. So let's just have a quick look at what he actually said. So when he finally received this gift that the Father gave him of of the promise that he waited for, he resulted in praise. So he had a very God-centered proclamation. If you look at verse 29 to 32, if you just count up how many words are there that refer to God, there are seven of them. It talks about the Lord. It says, you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light and a revelation for the Gentiles and for glory for your people Israel. I missed one, sorry. There's seven in there. So it's a very God-centered proclamation. He talks about himself two times. He says, my eyes, and he calls himself a servant of God. So he results in praise to the Lord. It wasn't a me-centered reaction. It was a God-centered proclamation. So he results in praise, and we're thankful for that. And then he proclaims some awesome truths about this Savior that's before them. He says that Christ is, first thing, he says he is your salvation. So Christ is God's salvation. And what does that mean? I just want to review the beautiful message of what that means, that he is the salvation. So another word for that is rescuer. He is our rescuer. He's the one that came to save, rescue us. And so Simeon saw it there. This is 2,000 years ago, and the problem still exists today, that this world that we live in is really broken. This world that we live in is really messed up. You can watch the news, and you can see bad things happening all over, here, there, other parts of the world. But we see that we live in a very broken and messed up world. You don't have to look at the news. You could maybe just look outside the window. You can look in the mirror. I can look in the mirror. We can see broken, messed up stuff, and that's the root of all that is sin. We see that we have sinned, each of us individually. We live in a sinful world. Sin just means something that's missing the mark. We haven't done what God has commanded us to do. And with that, it breaks our relationship between us and God. We live in a broken, broken world. And that's a problem. We don't have a relationship with God, our Creator. But there is salvation. And this salvation came in this child that came 2,000 years ago. God's salvation. God sent his only Son into this world who was not broken. He was not broken. We were all broken. He was the only perfect one that came. And he took our brokenness and our sin upon himself, and he paid for it. So at this point, he's just a little baby, and he's talking about things that would happen. He would live a perfect life, and he would take the sins of the world, all of our individual sins that we've done, he would take them on himself and pay for them before God. Jesus didn't do anything wrong. We did lots of things wrong, and he took those wrong things on himself and paid for them. And then whoever trusts in Christ will receive forgiveness of sin. And so we can be saved in Christ. And so that's the good news. That's what Simeon was talking about when he looked at this little baby. He said, this baby is God's salvation, God's rescuer, the one that God sent into the world to save people like us, to save sinners. So that's what Simeon said. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. So, yeah, most of us here would be what the Bible called Gentiles. We didn't come from a Hebrew Israel descent. And he's a light for us. He's a light to the Jews, and he's a light to the Gentiles too. So he is the light to the world, to all the world. He came through Israel. And that's why it says that he is glory for your people Israel. He was the Messiah that God sent through Israel to be the Savior to the world, Savior to Israel and to non-Israel too. So we're thankful for who this Savior is. So he also continued one last thing in verse 30. I'm just going to read verse 33 and 34. It says, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So, just an interesting note. In verse 34, he says to Mary. He doesn't say to Joseph. A lot of people think that that could have been because maybe Joseph died before the crucifixion of Jesus. And so maybe Joseph wasn't around. And so when he talks about how a sword will pierce through your own soul, talking about the agony of a mother when she saw her son being crucified. Some people think that. But anyway, if we just look at this, it says, this child will be appointed for the fall and rising of many. So we know that Christ is the cornerstone, and he is a rock of stumbling for many. So for those that believe in Christ, he gives eternal life. And for those that reject him, there is no eternal life for rejecting if you're rejecting Christ. So many fell and rose because of him. And he is the only way to truly rise. But many, because they rejected the gift of who Jesus was, they fell. So he's for the falling and the rising of many. If you want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, it'll tell you a little bit more about that. And he is the revealer of hearts. He's the light of the world. Just interesting, if you want to look quick in, not now, I'm running out of time, sorry. Revelation chapter 2, verse 23, Jesus refers to himself as, I am he who searches the mind and the heart. He was that then, and he is that today. He's the one who knows our hearts and who searches them and who reveals what's inside. And he was doing that here. It says, and so that the thoughts and the hearts of many will be revealed. It's just awesome to know that though he's the one that searches the heart and who knows the depths of our heart, he's also the Savior. And just because he knows what happens in our heart doesn't mean he then thinks that we're too bad to save. It's actually he knows what's going on in our heart, and then at the same time he chose to give his life for sinful people like us. So he knows our hearts, and he's saved us regardless of what's in there. And so we're thankful for that. So getting to the end of my time right now. So just if we look at Simeon, if we learn a couple things from him. One, that he waited on the promises of God. And we all can do that today. We all can wait on God's promises. And those promises are written for us today. We can read them in our native language, and that's a great thing. We can listen to them in English too. So we can wait on God's promises today. Also, allow God to change us through waiting, so that we can be like Simeon and be righteous and devout people through waiting. And then also, I think the biggest thing is that as we think about the things that we're waiting for, we need to have a correct perspective on them. And just like Simeon, his waiting wasn't really about him. It was about Jesus Christ, the baby that came, that he got to hold. His waiting was about somebody greater, and he played into a bigger story. And in the same way, the things that we wait for, they're really not about us. They're about God's faithfulness. They're about God's story, his plan, his design. And so we think about whatever we're waiting on, and if it encourages us to get perspective on it and to say, you know what? It's really about God and what he's going to do and his awesome plan. So I hope that when you guys think about what you're waiting for, whether it's something small like Christmas, I mean, big thing, whether it's a gift at Christmas or something, or whether it's something big like a spouse, trust the Lord. He's faithful. He will do what he promised to do. He has not changed. And we know that he's going to respond to prayer too. He's a prayer answering God. So let's just praise him, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing another song, and we'll praise him together. Lord, you're good. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you haven't forgotten about us. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you hear prayer. And we thank you that we can seek your face. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you that Christ died to forgive sins. And we thank you that we have eternal life in Christ. We pray that you would bless this day in the name of Jesus. Amen.